chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you're going to see, you know, when we take the Bible verse by verse, you're going to see the connection of why then God leads Paul to address this in the time period in this letter that he did, in the order that he did, right? And so, you remember, last week we're just dealing with, you know, that our body isn't ours, it's the Lord's. It's the Lord's. And so what we do with this body involves the Lord, both in body and spirit. And so it was with the church at Corinth, the members at Corinth. They grew up in an area that was just decadent, sinful, and just had behaviors that it appears, based on what God leads Paul to address, was continuing ungodly behavior with their bodies. And so then God would tell them how to have a holy, honorable, godly relationship with a man, with a woman, and he addresses that. Just titled the message, Principles for Relationships Between Men and Women. It's a great passage. I joke, you know, that, there's, you know, I mean, just pray for me. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, so just know this. We're going to take in 1 Corinthians now, it's going to be some questions that the church at Corinth had sent Paul, and he's going to respond to them. You're going to love this. You're going to just absolutely love this in chapter 7. And because God is so amazing that he would take the very questions that a church would ask an apostle and it be part of God's eternal word. The response would be, that's what's amazing. You're going to even see here, let me just jump here while I'm saying this. Look at verse 6, but I speak this by permission and not of commandment. And we'll just walk through that, but it's this. Paul asked the Lord, can I address this? And God said, perfecto. That's exactly what I wanted you to do. And so Paul wanted to address some things, and it was the exact, precise, eternal word of God. That's what's so amazing. But you can see, you know, the Bible says, holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit. And Paul was interacting with God in getting permission. He goes, I really would like to address this. And God goes, I want you to address that. And so it's beautiful. And then, you know, we'll see next week where Paul says, I'm writing this. Just let me show you this. I'll mention this. Look at this, verse 12. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. Every word in God's word is inspired of God. What he means by that, you won't find Jesus having said this. But it's still the inspired word of God. That's all that means in verse 12. I just tell you that God's amazing. His word is perfect. His word is eternal. And he takes the very personalities, the very questions of a church, the very desires of an apostle, and it ends up being the precise, exact, eternal words of God. That's amazing. That's amazing. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, apparently they asked, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Verse 3, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, just kindness, thoughtfulness, care. So let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Verse 5, defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Verse 6, but I speak this by permission and not of commandment. What will follow is what he's speaking of. He says, but I speak this by permission and not commandment. And he says this, because this was his heart. For I would that all men were even as I myself. See, Paul, by all evidence, was a widower at this time. And the reason why it's believed he was a widower, because by all evidence, when he talks in Philippians chapter 3 that he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he would have been part of the Sanhedrin. One of the requirements to be part of the Sanhedrin was that you be married. And so it appears that his wife had passed. And so that he would be a widower, he'd be single at this point in verse 7. I was about to sing if that kept going. I'm just kidding. It's all right. Oh, it's Bev. Bev, you get a pass today. That's the last time, though. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. And anyway, back to the text. Paul says, verse 6, "But I speak this by permission and not of commandment, for I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I." So he would have been unmarried at this time. And he said to the unmarried and widows, it'd be good if you can stay unmarried. Verse 9, "But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn," or burn in the flesh, burn in your hearts, lusting and wanting, you know, what you, you know, so it's okay. It's, if you, you know, I told folks before my son got married, he was in fuego, right? He was on fire. And he needed a woman. Every, you know, I shouldn't say this because then it's like, it seemed like, so I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that he worked for Jacob's dad, Eric, because if he would have worked for like fast food or something, see, I've told you this before. My son had to work. He had to pay for his insurance. He had to pay for half his gas. And then when he turned 18, he had to pay for all of his gas, all of his insurance, the entirety of his car. And he needed to learn to suck it up and provide. My girls weren't allowed to work. And I paid for their gas, I paid for their insurance, I paid for their car. They were allowed to nanny and do those kind of things. And I'm just telling you my personal choice. I told them this. I said, you know, one day I'll apologize to you if you work in fast food would be critical to you, the development of your life. I'll apologize for that. But you know what happens is when I would let them go, it's like, this because this was Josh. Any young lady he'd work with, he'd be like, I'm in love. You know, maybe it's the issue of sheltering with homeschool, right? So he's like, it's a new girl. That's who God has for me. And I'd be like, man, just take a chill pill, would you? And so I'm just glad he didn't work at fast food, but I also didn't want guys drooling over my daughters in fast food and all that. I'm just telling you what I did. You don't have to do that. I know men. And ladies, you think you do? You don't. And you don't want to. But let's just walk through this passage, principles for relationships between men and women. And it starts up. These are my four thoughts tonight. I'm just outlining them. So just relax. And then I'm just giving you all of these. Then we're going to go one through them. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. It is good to be married. It is good to be single. Back when we get later, the Bible would suggest it's better to be single. Why is this so important? We'll talk about that at the end, right? Those are my thoughts tonight, so just hang in there. I actually, when I preached this 10 years ago, I actually switched, because it was probably because I was just delaying the inevitable. I actually switched it, even though the verses would suggest I need to address it's good to be married, it's good to be single. I switched it, and I addressed it's good to be single before I addressed it's good to be married. That was just me delaying the inevitable. But so let's just go to this. It's good it is good not to touch a woman. Now, it's not this. You know, you can shake hands with a woman, right? And so, you know, even a side hug, right? And I think there's an appropriate way to hug. I'm telling you. Ladies, you talk about this at the WOW if you need to. But I just think, you know, it will help you. It'll be helpful for men. Do a side hug if you have to hug, right? And I know some of you are just like, I'll break out in hives if I don't hug. Okay, fine, I got it. And, you know, so, but do it appropriately, right? Do it appropriately. That'll honor you and men and all of that. But it's good for a man not to touch a woman. But let me just help you. It's touching them in a way that only a man should touch his wife. And that's what it's really dealing with. Let me just show you a few passages here. Genesis chapter 20. And this is dealing with Abimelech, and when God appears to Abimelech in a dream, remember, he almost, because Abraham's stupidity, and Abraham lied about Sarah, right? And Abimelech was about to violate Sarah, and God said unto him in a dream, "Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of your heart." Well, God's just so merciful. You know, he already had wives. So he's like, I didn't know, God. This was in a dream. Yeah, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of the heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Not to touch her in a way that would be inappropriate, in a way that would be wrong. You understand that? So I'm not saying you can't shake their hand or anything like that. But just so you know, just so you know, I remember, and watch, this is great havoc in our church now. Our first date, Deb and I, went to a Mexican restaurant, and then went to her house afterwards, and Rocky IV, they were watching Rocky IV in their family. Whole family's there, right? And just so you know, I'm just telling you, it's good for a man not to touch a woman, right? But she sat next to me, and I was just like, heaven, you know, I know this is crazy, right? And so she held my hand. I didn't hold hers, but I was like, man, this is good. This is really good, right? And she held my hand on the first night. And then, you know, a month later, she asked me to marry her. But it is I'm just telling you, you know, it's like, you guys held hands? It's okay. I respect it if you haven't. Have you not? Joe, have I crossed the line tonight? I've crossed the line? Okay. I've crossed the line? They have. Oh, thank you. Okay. Let me talk to Rachel here. I need to get some insight on this whole relationship here. It's okay. Joe said, no, you haven't crossed the line. I feel like I crossed the line tonight. Did you hit your neck today? You can't move? But it's this. Let me tell you. I'll just tell you this. That old boy there, man, he's like, is it already July 4th? 250-year anniversary of the country? And it's good. So Joe's like, wasn't that good? Okay, well, anyway, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. And so I want you to know this in an inappropriate way. It tells us that in Ruth. I mean, Boaz tells his men in the field, he says, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. And he's talking to Ruth here. He's going to tell her what he told the men. He's telling Ruth, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap and go after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? Inappropriately. And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink that which the young men have drawn. Proverbs 6:29. So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. And the Bible talks about that, right? It is, there is a certain intimacy, there's a certain touching that only should occur between a husband and wife, not between girlfriend and boyfriend. I don't think it's inappropriate to hold hands. And that's about it. And so just, I'm telling you, that'd be a good boundary there, good boundary. We're in agreement? No, I just look at Rachel and Joe. But that's okay, right? I mean, when he says it's good for a man not to touch a woman, they ask this question, right? And so God, through Paul, was giving them a good answer. Then he said it's good to be married. It's good to be married. Let's just look at verses 2 through 5. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication and to avoid the dishonoring of God, to avoid involving God in a behavior that's sinful and wicked and your body is his. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. He said, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, kindness. It's reciprocal. It's back and forth. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. And then it says, the wife hath not power of her own body. Let's just look at a few scriptures, then I'll get into these. This just talks about 1 Timothy chapter 4. And, you know, They've changed it, right? Because the Roman Catholic Church forbids their priests from being married, but they say they're not violating this commandment because they say priests voluntarily submit to that. I think in the 21st century, and it's probably been going on for centuries, but the uncovering of all of the misbehavior by the priests because they were forbidden to marry. And it says this, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, 1 Timothy chapter 4, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron, forbidding to marry. I want to tell you, if you misunderstand me tonight, marriage is good, marriage is great, God's better. God's more important. And so we aren't preaching the forbidding of marriage, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. And so we don't preach that. We do preach, the Bible says, there'll be no marriage or giving in marriage. Christ will be enough for eternity. He'll be all we need for eternity. 1 Corinthians 7:2, it says, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. God's pro-marriage. But I will tell you this, what's more important is that we honor and live for God. We'll see just a few verses and then a couple more verses. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. So it is good. Let's be clear. I will just tell you, it's good that I was married. I am a better man because of my wife. And if I could have just been disciplined and a more godly man, it would have been better for me to be single. Because I would have more time to serve and honor the Lord. But I will tell you this, God used it, and it was good for me to have a wife. It was good to have the wife named Deborah Terrell, and it was just good for me. She helped me. And I will tell you, ladies, my wife, she won me without a word. She didn't beat me up about anything, and she just loved me, and she was a great example, and it stirred my heart. And then what happens is when you do serve the Lord, that experience will spur you on. There's nothing better than serving the Lord. And so I benefited greatly, but I will tell you this, if I had been a disciplined man, I would have been able to do more. We're going to see that in the scriptures. Now then what it says, it is good to be married, render due benevolence. Let's look at this. Let's look at verses 3, 4, and 5. We'll look at that there. It says, let the husband render to the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Let me just put the next point here. Each spouse has power over their spouse's body. I'll deal with this collectively. Those are the two thoughts under here. Let's look at verse 3 again. Let the husband render the wife due benevolence. All that means is kindness, thoughtfulness, consideration, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not. And so defraud is to fool, to trick. I give very direct counsel when I do premarital counseling. And if people aren't willing to, to follow through, have a conversation with their future spouse, it would be defrauding. That's what the Bible says. You don't meet the needs of your spouse, husband or wife, you've defrauded them. You've married them under false pretenses. Here's what I want to tell you. Every husband and wife should have a conversation. Right? But husbands, here's what I want to tell you. Don't lie to your wife. 90% of the time, wives tell me what their husbands say, they lied. They said, this is fine. I'll be like, ain't no way that's what they think. Men, when you have these conversations, be gentle, be kind, be true. And wives, render due benevolence. Husbands, render due benevolence. I want to say in all this, this is the physical relationship between a husband and wife. There are things that are not okay. You want to talk to me about it? Talk to me later. I'll very specifically tell you. I'm just not going to go through that in the pulpit. I want you to know, everything doesn't go. Even for husbands and wives in Christian homes. And I'll tell you this. If the wife isn't comfortable, then show benevolence. Okay? And challenge yourself. I wonder if this is okay. You know, ask me. I'll give you my opinion. I'll give you some history lessons too. But I want you to know this. It's a conversation. It's joyful. God created the physical relationship so that we would still have people on earth, but that wasn't the only reason. He created the physical relationship. It's a critical component of a husband and wife. And it's I tell people this, it cannot be the primary purpose of marriage. And it's not the primary purpose of marriage. Right? But it is a glue that is helpful. That really causes you, right? I mean, you know, so you want to kiss your wife. Well, you better have been nice to her. Yeah? Yeah. And it's not a tool for punishment, either the husband or the wife. We don't do that for punishment. But let's just face reality. It's you need to be kind to your spouse. And if you're not, don't expect it to be a good kiss. Right? And so he says, render due benevolence. And so here's what this is talking about. It's in combination with this. He says, the wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. It's not in an abusive standpoint. I'll give you the non-physical relationship example. In South Africa, I didn't jump off the largest bungee bridge in the world. Oh, I wanted to. And Deb was just, she was adamant. And I mean, I pushed so much. And but we have this agreement that says this. My body's hers, and her body's mine. And so I'm going to take it to, you know, the safe place. That includes things like bungee jumping, right? She did all the research and like, you know, oh, you know, I think she made this up. She actually, should you bungee jump with a torn carotid artery? She found a study. I'm like, there ain't no way this was a study done. You know how many people have torn carotid artery? Not that many. And she said, no. And then when I saw Jacob jump off that bridge, right? And Jacob came out and his blood vessels burst off. She's like, you ain't going for sure. I go, man, I don't want to. Jacob looks terrible. But I want you to know this. If my wife is very insistent and she says, you need to have this test, you know, I might push back and go, no, I don't need it. If she says, no, I want you to have this test, you know what? My body's hers. And she, you know, reasonably, let's not be abusive, reasonably, you know, she gets to, and I'm, you know, she's never said, don't drink any Diet Mountain Dew. That'd be like, honey, that's out of context. Don't do that. You know, if Deb literally said, you drinking Diet Mountain Dew is bothersome to me, and it bothers me, I've prayed about it, I don't think you should drink Diet Mountain Dew, you know what? I think I should stop drinking Diet Mountain Dew. You think that's silly? I don't. I want to get along with my wife, and I know this. I've been married to her for 37 years, and she doesn't abuse those things. If she really felt that strongly about it, and if she's watching this, please don't do that. But it is... I wouldn't drink Diet Mountain Dew. I believe in it that wholeheartedly. We became one flesh, and what it is then I need to meet her needs. And so let me just talk, and it doesn't always have to be this way. It is, you need to talk to one another, husbands and wives. And husbands, I'm telling you this, I want every husband and wife to have a conversation. I want you to ask, am I meeting your needs? And don't give the yes. Say, you know, I love you, but probably not. And so, you guys, you can't imagine the advice I give behind the scenes. So I'm just gonna give you a little advice behind the scenes. I've told people this because I know this. When you're young, life gets so hectic, and you're just like, you know, by the time you get the kids in bed, you're like, I'm exhausted, right? Here's what I tell people. Now, okay. You say TMI, I'm just trying to help you because you probably won't come to me and ask me questions, right? It's this. Schedule your time together. You say, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Let me tell you, I've got converts to that thought, and here's why. Okay? It's this. It'll help the wife. It'll help the husband. The husband will be like, Monday and Tuesday's coming. And so it'll help, okay? And it'll also help the wife because, you know, she's just, a woman's mind is never at rest typically, right? Isn't that the, men, we're just like, what are you thinking? Nothing. Just like you, right? And they'll be like, no, I'm thinking about 3,000 things at one time. And I'm just telling you, think out of the box so that you can be delightful in what God commands. You follow me? Let's not be miserable in what God commands. If God says, take care of your man, take care of your woman, let's be delightful about it. And so, I know, you guys, I just preached the next verse, right? So I told you, you know, it's this. Learn to ring his bell and learn to ring her bell. Okay? It's a big deal. Nobody's moving today. They're like, if I move, it'll look like I'm in agreement. It's critical. I tell you this. So here's what happens. Okay, now this is, I'm trying to speak in code here, but it's like the first row is just like, I think I know what he's talking about. And this is just like, I'm about to throw up. And But it's a woman's, I'll use this term. I think I use this term. Maybe you guys tell me, I can not use this term from the pulpit. A woman's libido increases until she dies. So, you know, trust me, I'm getting older. Our libido, guys, is kind of declines, right? So I'm just telling, I'm nervous. Deb's coming back on Wednesday. I'm like, gotta, I'm feeling pressure. She's coming back on Wednesday. Your husband comes back from a business trip or something. I know you ladies like, welcome home, right? Here I am. I'm like, welcome home, baby. It's like, I'm preaching tonight. So, and so it's, but I will tell you this. I have conversations with my wife. Am I meeting your needs? I've slowed down. I know TMI. And I want to tell you this. And she'll tell me. We have that kind of relationship, and I think it's super important. You understand that? I'm here to meet her needs and to take care of her. And so it's just not a one-way street. You follow me? And so what the Bible says is, as a husband and wife, my body's hers and her body's mine, and I need to be kind about it. I need to be understanding about it. And it's this. It's we need to meet each other's needs physically. Do you understand what it's talking about in verse 5? Look at this. Defraud ye not the other. Don't you dare not take care of them, except it be with consent for a time. And so here's what the time would be, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer. There's a time, and so I love this, fasting and prayer is a time, fasting not only from food, but fasting from physical pleasures. You follow me? And so you want to fast spiritually, right? So I do a lot of fasting just to lose weight, so don't claim it's spiritual. But if I'm going to spiritually fast, I'm going to spiritually fast from nearly everything that this flesh would want. I'm going to control this flesh. You should drink water. But it's this. Look at verse 5 again. Defraud ye not one another, except to be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. And then after that, come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. I want you to understand this. We saw this, and I'm not trying to make this something I address all the time, but we saw it even when they said, sanctify yourselves to worship God. We saw that the other night in Exodus 19, didn't we? Come not at your wives. Remember David, when he wanted the showbread? What did he tell the priest? We haven't been with women for 3 days. We are sanctified and able to partake of this holy bread. Just to give you some perspective, 3 days was a shocker. I got in trouble before because I got numerical. Okay, I'm sure I'm not going to get numerical now, right? So I'm just telling you, I'm going to not, but I'm just telling you this. You had conversations with your spouse, okay? And so there wasn't one man that disagreed with me years ago when I preached, right? And so, you know, don't do that, Steve. Don't do that. Okay. It's good. Take care of each other. You follow me? Ladies, men, you study the scriptures, have a conversation, and take care of each other. Now, it's complicated, isn't it? One of the reasons why God says better to be single. You get married, it's complicated. It's complicated. I mean, you know, it's like, you ain't living for yourself anymore, right? And you're all of a sudden, you're going to have to meet the needs of somebody else that you'll never understand. You'll never understand them. The best you can do is be like, I appreciate you. Appreciate you. Trying to figure you out. And I've given up on that. I'm just going to love her. I'm just going to love her. And I delight in her. So if you guys, I know, I talk about Deb a lot. She's so good. I love my wife. She's an amazing woman. Allows me to use her in illustrations all the time. And it's good. I'm just telling you. You guys need to have conversations one with another. You need to be talking about this. And men, I'm not going to preach this again for 10 years. So you better be honest. Okay? You stinking liars. I always hear this. They say, well, you know, and I'm like, no, he lied. Take care of each other. Right? And it will be good. It'll be delightful. And then have conversations. have conversations, okay? I'm going to own across the line one more time. Have conversations about how you're taking care of each other physically. Yeah. Am I meeting your needs? How's that feel? Is that okay? Is that good? You know? I know. Everybody's like, I can't believe. Nobody asks me these questions. Nobody comes up to me. I'll just tell you this. It's good. You know this? I don't want to guess. We're like, is that good? No, that's bad. Okay, that's bad. Scratch that off. That good? No, bad. That good? No, bad. Just tell me then. Tell me. What's good? And now she tells me. I love that. The best part of the physical relationship, I'm going to tell you this as a husband, is ringing her bell. There's no doubt about it. It is the best part is that I can satisfy my woman and enjoy your spouse. You follow me? You got to understand, I know this is a little heavy. I'm glad it's on Sunday night. I think I may have preached this on Sunday morning before. I don't remember. And it's this. It's following a congregation that was out of control and just acting like dogs, acting like animals, going up to the temple prostitutes and just dishonoring God left and right. He said this, marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. You take care of each other physically. All right? Have conversations and delight in it. It's complicated, but it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It is a wonderful thing. And just have conversations. I'm off that note. It's good to be single. So you can all... All right, here we go. Verse 6. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. For I would that all men were even as I myself. So you see later that he's single. He's unmarried. But every man hath his proper gift of God, and one after this manner and another after that. So it's not commandment. So he says, I speak this by permission, not commandment. He said this, I would that all men were as I, that they would be unmarried and could just be focused on the ministry, right? I heard this thing. I thought it was pretty good. It was talking about, you know, our bodies, not each other's. And I heard this example of a young man has little kids and he wanted to get a motorcycle. Not anti-motorcycle, Jeff, but the wife was just not comfortable with him getting a motorcycle. I think they had like 3 kids under 5. And she said, you know, you got to think of more people than just yourself. She goes, I'm okay if you get a motorcycle, you know, when the kids are older, but you die now and what am I supposed to do? You could say she could just trust the Lord, but she's uncomfortable getting a motorcycle. You know what I love? You know what that guy did? He didn't get a motorcycle. I don't know what it means. Deb says, hey, you going to get a motorcycle? And no, she doesn't say that, but he didn't get a motorcycle because he wanted to show due benevolence to his wife. Kindness to her, right? And you could say, oh, honey, you're not supposed to worry, you know, but just be that way. So it's good to be single. So he said, look at verse 7, for I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. It's awkward when I have to cover some of these passages and I go into the detail that I did, but I will tell you this, we aren't going to be a church that glorifies marriage above any other state. If we were to glorify any state, it would be the single state. That you have more freedom, more time, more ability to give of yourself to the Lord. And so just let me tell you this, you know, so it's be single, right? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You can either look it on the board, you can look in your Bible. He said, but I would have you without carefulness or without worry, right? You know, so you know, I've explained this before. You know, careful, it's worry, right? And so when the Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, it's don't worry. And so he said, I would have you without carefulness or without worry. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. Now, unless you're burning in the flesh, right? But this ought to be our desire. For I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of this world, how he may please his wife. And every wife would go, I would just love to see that, right? There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit, but she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And God's not downing that. It is this. There is just something more important than me in my marriage. And they're not in conflict, right? Nothing's in conflict that God creates. He created the family. He created his churches. And none of them are in conflict. God is to be the priority. Now, don't get all upset about that. Don't fret about that. But in everything we do, he is to be the priority. We are to take him along with every single thing that we do. And so, then I just ask this, why is this so important? I'm going to show you some scriptures, and I'm just going to have this thought. Don't be satisfied with the good. Focus on God's best. And let's just look at a couple of scriptures, and then I'm not far from being done. It's this. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. What? It's not advocating for people to abandon their responsibilities as husbands. It's not advocating that at all. Period. But it's saying this. Even when you're married, never forget your priority must be the Lord. If we make God the priority, our family will benefit. You know, I threw out this a couple weeks ago where I said the Lord's church and his churches are more important than the family. Those are bold words. I think I could prove it with Scripture. They're not in conflict with one another. I believe this. If I prioritize the Lord, and I'm not in bondage to a church. I'm not talking about it that way, right? It's not that the church rules over you, but that you have a proper perspective and a priority of the Lord's institution, right? If I focus primarily on the Lord, and I then I'm in submission to his church in a godly fashion, right? Not in a dictatorial church. My family will benefit. You'll never regret honoring Christ and then submitting to one of his churches in heaven. And so I didn't say there might not be these rare instances. He said, be not forsaken the assembling of yourselves together. I'm not saying there couldn't be rare instances where, you know, you have to make a choice. And so I'm just telling you this. It is in that order, it's this. And so when he says this in 1 Corinthians 7, we'll get there eventually. But I say, brethren, the time is short. Here's why. The night cometh when no man can work. The time is short. It's honor Christ first. I've just seen it so many times that people will honor their spouse at the expense of God. That's sin. It is the best thing you could do with a spouse that doesn't want to do what's right. Be kind, be loving, be gentle, be clear. God is the priority. And here's what we're going to do. I want you to come with me. And they don't, we're not going to, you know, there's a point where your spouse, you can't force them, right? Put God first and trust that they'll follow. I tell every man this. Lead your family. Your wife will follow. God created them to follow. Now, I told some people, I say, at first she'll be kicking and screaming. Because, man, I'm telling you, I've been in behind-the-scenes things, and it's like, you know, at me, right? And I've looked at him, I said, are you going to lead? Are you going to lead? She'll follow if she doesn't honor God. You don't do it mean. Don't do it like a jerk. But I'm convinced you lead gently, you lead lovingly, and you got to raise the bar that says, I'm going to increase kindness to show her that I'm just not trying to be the big boss, but I know who the master is. That's what it's talking about, that we would be as though we weren't married, that says this: if there's a question, God's first. And when we, men or women, put God first, it's always the right choice. I don't know if I've said this from the pulpit. Have I said this from the pulpit? I've said it so many times privately. I've watched this. This is my observation. Get a bad man with a good woman. This is my observation. The woman will not be as effective. She'll serve the Lord. Get a bad woman with a good man, the man will follow. The reason why is because they're trying to avoid conflict. Listen, here's my observation. It's not a Bible, but it's like I've seen it. Women, while they're designed to follow, if their man won't lead, the women usually will have more spiritual tenacity. Get a good woman with a bad man, the woman will usually, more times than the man, do what's right. Get a good man with a bad woman, he'll follow the bad woman. You can't do that. What I tell you is, if you have a bad man or a bad woman, love them. Don't beat them up with your words. Don't beat them up with your heart. Don't beat them up with your mind. You love them, but you honor God. That's why it's a big deal. All my single guys and single gals, you want my opinion. You going to let me have some input? Luis, you going to let me have some input? Oh, man, I love that enthusiasm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, we're going to work on that. I'm not your ruler, okay? But I want to tell you this. I care for you, right? And I'm not going to judge personalities. I'm just going to tell you what I see spiritually in the fruit. And I'll give you my cautions, okay? Alex, you going to include me in this pursuit of finding a wife, right? Ethan? Oh, yes, sir, that's better. Luis, let's try it again. You going to let me have input? All right. Jalea? Allie? You want me to keep going on down the road? I could. Look, you want godly people to have input because it's a big deal. It's a big deal, and you want, here's the only reason you should be married. I think I've said this many times, right? 1 + 1 = 3. And it's not the old triangle. I like the triangle. Closer to God to get closer to each other. No, but it's this. The Bible says it's better to be single, right? If 1 + 1 = 2, stay single. But if together 1 + 1 = 3, and together you'll honor the Lord better than that, that honestly, I mean, if we can just think right, and it's one of the blessings that God gave me, Deb. She's the best partner in the gospel ministry, and 1 + 1 = 3. Maybe just by myself, I'd have been a 0.62, right? But with her, it's blossomed, and it's been good. She's made me a better man. 1 + 1 = 3. The only reason someone should get married is because you believe that it'll help you honor God better. And that's why he created women to be our helpmeet. Helpmeet to what? Help us honor God. Because it's all about him. And so, don't be satisfied. So, look at 1 Corinthians. I already looked at this, right? I already looked at 1 Corinthians 7. I've talked about it earlier. But it's this. Don't be satisfied with good. Focus on God's best. Isn't that what I said? It is. And it's good to be married. But it's better to honor God. I think you can be married and you can honor God. And that's the beautiful thing. I didn't preach this message for this to be stressful. It is, if you're stressed, give it over to the Lord. Talk to your spouse. And so it is, it's good. It's good. Dealt with three things. Oh, it's on the board. It's good for a man not to touch a woman until you're married. You understand that? That's God's instruction, right? The world, we are in such a weird world that it's like, you know, you meet somebody within 24 hours, it's ungodly, perverse, and wicked. We ought not to be part of that culture. It's good to be married. It is good to be married. I love marriage. I know I joke about it a lot, but I love being married. It is so good for me, and it's just, it's good. And so you know this? I need to be kind to my wife. When she tells me something that bothers her in any way, not just in the physical relationship, in any way, you know what I should do? I should listen. It doesn't matter if I don't think it's a big deal. It's a big deal to her. I love this. You know, I mean, somebody said, you know, when the three-year-old loses his truck, if I treat it like it up, that's not a big deal, that stupid truck. It's a big deal to the three-year-old. Just meet the needs. Render due benevolence. Each spouse has power over the other spouse's body. It's good to be single. Celebrate your singlehood. Don't bemoan it. Don't think, I need to be married. I have to be married. No. It's this. What you need to do is honor Christ. That's what's important. Why is this important? Don't be satisfied with the good. Focus on God's best. I'm telling you, knowing what I know now, and God just blessed. He was super kind. I understood this. I wanted a godly woman, and Deb was serving the Lord. I'm just telling you this. Every one of our singles, you know what you should do? You should be striving for bachelorette, Christian bachelorette of the year. If you're not, you're not going to get Christian bachelor of the year, right? You want a godly man? Be a godly woman. You want a godly woman? Be a godly man. And so I tell you this, is God's plan, how we operate, and then you're going to see He gives greater instruction even next week when it ain't working so well. And He says, you know what? Stay married. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You'll bless each